Well, good afternoon. It's the last session of the day, so I'm happy to be here to talk about our study on person-centered care and culture change in U.S. nursing homes. I have no relationships to disclose. I want to acknowledge the Retirement Research Foundation that funded this work, as well as the National Institute on Aging, which funded our Shaping Long-Term Care in America project. Let me move this down here so it's not. I also want to acknowledge my collaborators who are listed here. So for nearly two decades, at this point over two decades, there's been a movement to change the model of nursing home care in the U.S., and I've listed here some of the models that were started in relation to this. And also, CMS has endorsed this change to having more resident-centered care, person-centered care, or what's called culture change in nursing homes. The advocated change, as I said, is commonly called nursing home culture change, but it reflects practices aimed at making a nursing home less like an institution and more like a home, and enabling resident choice, improved quality care, and staff empowerment. So there's only been one national study that tried to understand the extent of nursing home involvement in culture change practices. That was funded by the Commonwealth Foundation. And there's really been little empirical research on the impact of culture change practices. There's been several studies on the greenhouse model, and this is a small house model of culture change. And there were some quasi-experimental design studies, and they did show some benefit to this model of care. There's also been, I list one here, but there's been several qualitative studies that have looked at the impact of the greenhouse home. So this study intended to provide information on the adoption of culture change practices, the magnitude of adoption, or really what we examine as implementation. And that's the correct word. And we wanted to look at how implementation varies by nursing home and market characteristics, as well as how state policies may be associated with implementation. We also did a qualitative study. This was a mixed methods study, and the other bullets relate to our qualitative goals. The last bullet relates to something I'm still working on, and we're still working on, is to look at, and we're going to do a pre-post study looking at outcomes in relation to the extent of practice adoption or implementation that we saw. So we began to design our survey questions. We did extensive literature review, and we also interviewed key informants. And we interviewed people from University of Kansas, University of Minnesota, the Colorado Foundation for Medical Care, and the people who conducted the Commonwealth Survey. And I talked to them about what they asked, what their experience was with their survey, what questions they thought were good, et cetera. Listed here are all the constructs that were measured by the different surveys, and the only one that was, as I said, national was the Commonwealth. And highlighted are the constructs that we studied in this study. There are constructs, and there's a global question, and we also asked a global question. Two of the previous surveys had validity data, because they knew the status of their nursing homes they surveyed, so they were able to test validity of their items, and so we tried to use those items as much as we could. So in this Shaping Long-Term Care in America project, we created surveys that were administered to nursing home administrators and directors of nursing. In terms of this study, the number of items was limited because we had four studies that were collecting data from these surveys. So it was all the more important that I chose survey items that had some validity support. We also did repeated cognitive-based interviewing to make sure our items were understood by the people we were asking, and also to make sure they were responding to in the way that we, not in the way we wanted, but the way we intended them to respond, like they were answering the correct question. And we made several, so although I started with these validated questions, we made several wording changes and stuff to make the questions easier and more understandable for the respondents. So we ended up with a global question, 8 nursing home environment questions, 7 staff empowerment questions, and 4 resident care decision-making questions. We administered the survey to 41 U.S. nursing homes in 2009 and 10, And this was a proportionate random sample of U.S. nursing homes, so our results are generalizable to the U.S. We were able to achieve contact in about 3,700 nursing homes, and this means that we identified a person who was actually in the position. You may not be surprised, but there are some nursing homes where we couldn't identify a DON in place at that time, and they did several follow-ups to try to do this. So based on the contacts achieved, we had about 60% of the nursing home administrators and DONs who cooperated in the survey or responded, and that's almost twice as much as Commonwealth was able to achieve. They had a 37% response rate. So then we created, in the abstract it says we created one score, but after we thought about it more, it just didn't make sense because the three constructs that we were measuring are really quite distinct. So we created three domain scores and evaluated these scores. And then to test our the effect of policies, the association with policies, we used multivariate generalized ordered logit regression. So what we did is we compared quartiles. So we compared nursing homes that had the highest quartile scores to those with the three lower ones. Had the top two quartiles compared to the bottom two, et cetera. So. And so I present the results a little differently because of this. There's too many numbers. And so all analyses were adjusted for survey design and non-response bias. So we also did 64 interviews of nursing home administrators, and I don't have time to go into that, the design of that, but I just wanted to point out that we asked the person who did the interviewer, and we only had three people do the 64 interviews, we asked them at the end of the interview to rate the facility on a score of 1 to 5 in relation to how involved they thought the nursing home was in these three areas, resident-centered care, staff empowerment, and nursing home environment. And then we used this to help validate our quantitative findings. So our findings. This is the global question. We asked, we first gave the nursing home a definition of culture change or resident-centered care, and then we asked them to reply whether culture change had completely changed the way we care for residents in all areas of the organization, completely changed the way we care for residents in some areas of the organization, whether it had partially changed the way we care for residents in some areas of the organization, or whether it's under discussion or not even under discussion. And those were two responses that I combined. And then the others, we as a group categorized the responses and put them into one of these four categories. So this is comparing our survey to the Commonwealth, and I want to point out this pie right here, this piece of the pie. In 2007, 43% of the directors of nursing who responded to the Commonwealth fund essentially said they had a traditional nursing home. They weren't doing anything in relation to culture change or resident-centered care. In our survey in 2009 and 10, that percentage was only 14%. So we saw a huge increase, at least in reported implementation of any culture change practices. And both surveys were self-report from the director of nursing. And we actually used a very similar question as the Commonwealth survey did. So these are some of our nursing home environment questions. In keeping to the time, I'm not going to read through each of them, but I'll just mention a couple and move this thing. So 80% of the nursing home administrators said the environment was similar to their own home. And 43% said the kitchen area was accessible 24/7. And another area that is always of interest is 48% had open dining. So that means that they had dining open for a 2 or 3 hour period where residents could eat at any time they'd like. Those are the main points I wanted to make. For resident decision making, I want to mention why we only have four questions here is because the so many of the questions, everybody said yes to things that had previously had variability when people asked them. So We don't know if that means that people are doing this much more, or they know they should be answering it this way. So we asked about waking time, but we had a question about sleeping time, when they chose when to go to sleep, and everybody said yes. And that before had a lot of variability in other surveys. So about 90% of the residents could choose their activities or choose their waking time. Only 46% could participate in choosing their CNA. So the staff empowerment questions, we found that 84%, or they reported that 84% of the staff worked together to cover shifts. 46% of the CNAs are involved in quality improvement teams, but only 28% are cross-trained. And this is a big component when we talk about nursing home culture change, having people cross-trained in different areas. But only 28% noted this was the case. So these are our domain scores. We had 8 nursing home environment scores, questions, 4 resident-centered care questions, and 7 staff empowerment questions. Our Cronbach-Brex Alpha were decent for having such low numbers for the nursing home environment and the staff empowerment categories or domains. It was low for the resident-centered care, but because there were only 4 questions, and since these had previous validity evidence, we felt it was prudent to keep them as is. So this is looking at our global question and the responses. So if you look at staff empowerment, these are the nursing homes that said they had complete adoption in part or all of the nursing home, and they have the highest score for staff empowerment. And as you see, as they went down to having traditional, this was complete adoptions in all of the nursing homes, some of the nursing home strivers, which are those partial adopters, and then traditional. And you can see for each of these categories, as they had a lower response or less culture change reported, they had lower scores on each of these domains, And this is our interviewer rankings. It's not quite as clean as we saw for the previous one, but for staff empowerment, as the nursing home reported less adoption of culture change, the score given by the interviewer decreased. For all of the categories, the interviewer score was highest for the complete adopters and lowest for the traditional nursing homes. Now, this is a multivariate analysis, and instead of putting numbers here, I have arrows because we do 3 different quartile comparisons, and so it gets real busy. But basically, we saw that in states where there was a pay-for-performance policy, there were significantly higher nursing home environment scores and staff empowerment scores. When that pay-for-performance policy included culture change performance measures, there was an even greater effect. So nursing homes in states with pay-for-performance that had culture change performance measures had about 2 times higher likelihood of being in, say, above the median versus below the median, while they may have had a 50 or 60% greater likelihood of being in the upper median, above the median or below the median in their scores. And there was also an effect on nursing home environment related to Medicaid payment, although it was negative for staff empowerment. That might be because they could, I'm not sure. We were thinking maybe they could had more money to pay nursing homes aides more or staff more, and maybe they didn't really focus on some of the other empowering things. One of the other big findings, and I don't think it's a surprise to anyone, but as a nursing home had higher proportions of Medicaid residents, they had less practice implemented. So for for staff empowerment, it didn't pertain, but for the other categories, it was a really strong effect as they had more Medicaid residents. And the other thing I wanted to point out is we do have questions on tenure, DON tenure, and the nursing home administrator tenure. So for the nursing home administrator tenure, This is the only significant finding it related to higher staff empowerment scores. But for the DON tenure, we asked about whether you had one, two, or three DONs in the past two years. So compared to three or more, if you had one or two, you had higher. The nursing home had higher scores on nursing home environment and staff empowerment and on tenure. There was a different measure for this question for that. Tenure. Okay, so the limitations, as I'm sure you know, these reflect input from the DON and nursing home administrator only. Someone else in the facility may have answered differently. There was likely social desirability. CMS has been advocating for culture change. They have, surveyors have been asking about it, and we heard about that in our interviews. I don't have time to go into. We are also limited, as I mentioned, in the number of survey questions we could include. And this is a cross-sectional analysis, so we can just look at associations. We are doing a pre-post analysis to look at outcomes. The strength, however, is that we had an approximate 60% response rate, which is great for a nursing home survey. It took an average of 4 hours for each response we received. A lot of follow-up our surveyor people did. This is a representative national sample. Nursing home and staff empowerment items have good internal consistency, strong internal consistency between global response and all domain scores, and the interview results support the validity of the survey responses. So as well as the quantitative comparison I showed you, what we heard supported these findings also. So in summary, there has been a lot of reported increase in adoption. How much is social desirability? We're not sure, but I do think there's something going on. There's a lot of state advocacy at the state level, at CMS, and I think nursing homes are responding. We certainly see it in Rhode Island, where there's been a lot done. Nursing homes with higher domain scores differ from those with lower scores. They're more likely to have higher Medicaid rates and pay-for-performance policies. They have a different resident mix in terms of having more less Medicaid residents if they have higher scores. They have longer leadership tenure, and there are other characteristics that I didn't go into. As I mentioned, right now we're examining nursing home and processes and outcomes in relation to these scores and using a pre-post design. Okay, thank you.